listen again on the hour for NBC Monitor News. This here is Monitor, and this here is Frank Chaxfield with springtime music, Sunshine. Say in the Navy, welcome aboard. We used to say some other things too, but we can't repeat them on the air, but the day may be coming when we will. By a curious coincidence, that's part of the subject we're taking up this weekend. The new standards in behavior, talk, and dress in the world today. Speaking of which, here's Sammy Davis Jr. with a lyric that you wouldn't have heard on your radio 5 years ago.
Daddy started out in San Francisco, tooting on his trumpet loud and mean.
Suddenly a voice said, go for Daddy's, where the picture ought to widest me.
And the voice said, Daddy, there's a million pigeons, well, we hold on new religions. If the road, Daddy, will you come along, wipe, spread the religion of the rhythm of life. And the rhythm of life is a powerful beat. It's a tingle in your fingers and a tingle in your feet. Rhythm in your bedroom, rhythm in the street, yes, the rhythm of life is a powerful beat.
To feel the rhythm of life,
to feel the powerful beat, to feel the tingle in your fingers, to feel the power in your feet. Daddy, go, 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 go. Daddy spread the gospel in Milwaukee, took his walkie-talkie to Rocky Ridge,
blew his way to Canton, then to Scranton, till he landed under the Manhattan Bridge.
Daddy was a new sensation, got himself a congregation, built up quite an operation down below.
With the fire type of glory, while the mustard bell was blowing, all the cats were go-go-going
down below.
Daddy had a good sensation, took a fire
Yeah.
Sammy Davis, his latest, Rhythm of Life. In the National Invitation Basketball Tournament Consolation, Tennessee 64, Army 52. I guess Army needs the consolation. In the World Hockey Championships in Stockholm, Finland beat the winless United States 4-3. We need the consolation. And a big goalie, I keep telling them. This weekend, as Monitor examines the new freedoms in society today, we naturally find most of the rebellion against the old Puritan standards comes from the young, which means you and me, honey. Freedom in the matter of dress, of course, reaches its ultimate in complete undress. This ultimate seems to have been achieved on at least one college campus in America, as we hear now from reporter John Wagner.
There's been a growing concern lately about the new moralities being expressed on college and university campuses throughout the country. Students at the University of Maryland in College Park are busy this week trying to solve the mystery of the naked runners. One night a couple of weeks ago, around 11 o'clock, a figure streaked across the campus dormitory grounds in the aisle together. Now, nude runners, while they may not exactly be commonplace, are not entirely new to the University of Maryland either. One men's dorm on campus boasts of having the original two-man naked sprint team. And they also claim to have more nude runners per capita than any other dorm in any other university in the United States. But this particular runner looked like a female, the university's first naked female runner. This horseless Lady Godiva, described by observers as being about 5'6", dark-haired and flat-chested, was being pursued by some 20 or 30 fully clad male students. Almost as suddenly as she had made the scene, she disappeared into the darkness of night. Around midnight, the university infirmary treated a male student for a sprained ankle suffered while getting into position for a peek at a second naked female runner reportedly on the way. He suffered in vain, though, because the second co-ed never showed up. In all, anywhere from 10 to 20 other nude runners were reported to have braved the near-freezing temperatures and 10 to 20 mile-per-hour winds for individual or group sprints during that one-week period. Some were clad in hats and tennis shoes. The less hardy were also outfitted with a ski mask. We managed to track down one of these raw runners and asked him what prompted these nude sprints.
Well, things were kind of dull. One of the ways to get things started around there was to try this, and it worked out pretty well. A lot of people thought it was going to be too cold, but we decided we could bear it.
We asked if there were any more naked runs in the offing.
Oh, yes, there's going to be plenty now that the weather's warming up. We're going to have big crowds. In fact, there's one plan to put 50 guys on motorcycles.
Now, here's an eyewitness and her impressions of the naked sprints.
I think the guys just did it to get the reaction of the girls. I think it's funny.
Things seem to have died down a bit now, at least temporarily. Oh, they've had a couple of old-fashioned panty raids, but the nude co-ed hasn't been seen since, or at least she hasn't been recognized. The Midnight Paul Revere's haven't been running lately either, although I think the troops are merely regrouping, getting ready for the big spring vacation just a few weeks off. As for the university's first and only nude female runner, well, you can rest assured I'm still keeping a real close eye out for her. John Wagner for Monitor.
Well, thank the Lord they're learning something. Just a bit of philosophy here. At 18, no, now it's 19 after the hour, and you're on the Monitor Beacon.
I have an island for you, an unheard of island where you can see Hindus in dhotis dance the moon dance on the lip of a Caribbean lagoon. An island where, from tidy Victorian lawns, you can watch hot pink flamingos fly into the sinking sun. An unheard of island of carnival whose calypso pulse throbs endlessly down the mountains, across cane fields and rice paddies, along sandy beaches and into the sea itself. An island where children play soccer and rugby on Queen's Park Savannah, while moments away monkeys, agoutis and ocelots camper through jungles of cocoa and bamboo. An unheard of island called Trinidad. I know an airline that will fly you here. BWIA, call the travel man, or BWIA, and come to an unheard of island on BWIA, the unheard of airline.
WNBC, Radio 660, New York.
If you suffer from nervous headaches, here's why you should try Anacin.
Everyone who works under severe strain often gets tension headaches.
Everyone knows doctors have their choice of pain relievers, but Anacin contains the one doctors recommend most for headaches.
And Anacin gives you twice as much of this as any other leading extra strength tablet.
In minutes, pain goes, and so its nervous tension goes.
Anacin relieves pain, so relaxes its tension fast. Anacin tablets.
Friends, I've seen reports from several outstanding doctors about hemorrhoids. Reports that tell how a special medication actually shrinks hemorrhoids, except in severe or persistent cases. The name of this medication is Preparation H. These doctors' reports show that in most cases, Preparation H not only gives prompt temporary relief from pain, but actually shrinks hemorrhoids. Remember, for best results, follow directions. Doctor-tested Preparation H ointment or suppositories.
Association with their latest Goodbye Columbus. The time, as I told you, is 19 minutes after the hour. You must believe me. Morgan here for Monitor, taking a look this weekend at the new freedoms in American manners and morals. Of course, just what is moral and what isn't can be a matter of disagreement between youth and the old folks, between you and me. Definitions can vary from one country to another. Here with some observations is author Helen Lawrenson.
The young people in Europe feel that morality is a question of how you treat each other, of your attitude toward other human beings, not a question of how much of your body you expose, which is, your body is a beautiful thing, beautiful or not beautiful, it's a perfectly natural thing, and that there shouldn't be any shame attached to it, that morality is not whom you sleep with or where or how you dress. There's nothing that infuriates older people, and I find this in America particularly, more than the dress of the so-called young hip people, the long hair on boys. I mean, older people get paranoiac with almost a fury, a rage. They say, oh, look at them, they're so horrible, they look so filthy, they're so kooky. Yet if they look at their own family albums, at their great-great-grandfathers, they look at Custer or General Grant or Beethoven or something, they don't say, oh, he looks so filthy, what a kook. And they don't realize that the hair, the dress, that's not important. It's the kind of minds they have and the kind of human emotions, the kind of hearts they have. And the young people today, they have completely different ideas about what we used to call morals. But to me, they are far more moral and far more principled. and certainly more honest, less hypocritical.
That was Helen Lawrenson, longtime observer of human behavior. Her most recent book is Latins Are Still Lousy Lovers. I wouldn't ordinarily use, by the way. Here's a vocal by Miss Brenda Lee, Johnny One Time.
So he told you that you're the dream that he's been searching for. And he told you that he'd never met anyone like you before. And I can hear known as Johnny One Time. Did he tell you that your heart soon become a trinket on his bracelet, a broken heart? Did he tell you that the morning sun would find you catching up your shadow cloud and searching for the missing parts?
At the changes being wrought in morality and social barriers in the world today, the things that can be said and heard and seen are much more explicit than they've been within the lifetime of people living now. The question seems to be just how far can it all go? One answer seems to be supplied by a recent phonograph album, newly placed on the market, or rather the black market. Linda Sutter has the story.
We did it, Beatle John Lennon says, because at the time it seemed like the natural thing to do. By we, he means himself and his then mistress, now wife, Yoko Ono, and what seemed to them a natural thing was to pose nude for the jacket of their record Two Virgins. He's actually not quite nude. He's wearing a necklace and eyeglasses. Two Virgins is the furthest frontier of new freedom yet attempted or reached in rock music, not only because John Lennon and Yoko Ono grace its cover arm in arm and naked as babes, but because of the record itself. And since that's virtually indescribable, here's a small representative sample. Record is an indecipherable bore, and John and Yoko, on the album at least, are rather unattractive. And if it isn't bad enough for them, displaying themselves in all their naked glory, only to discover most people haven't found them glorious, they've also discovered there are a lot of people who don't think it was natural for them to display themselves in the first place, who think, in fact, it was obscene to do so. And worst of all, possibly, is the lack of appreciation for their artistic effort. Although over 100,000 albums have been sold in the United States, Beatles albums sell at least 10 times that. The Attorney General of New Jersey confiscated 25,000 copies of Two Virgins on the ground that it was obscene, and authorities in Cleveland have banned it. In New York, searching for it is very much like searching for the proverbial needle in the haystack. When I finally found it, I had to swear I'd buy it before the salesman would so much as show it to me. He then explained he was afraid of being haunted by moralistic groups dedicated to eradicating every trace of Two Virgins from the face of the earth. The fact of the matter is that unless you buy it at an underground store, you'll find John and Yoko wrapped in plain brown paper with a picture of their heads and quotes from Genesis chapter 2, verses 21 through 25. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Linda Sutter, reporting for Monitor.
Well, they got married this week. I suppose on their next album, they'll probably be wearing clothes. Here's a Monitor tip for motorists. I got a further remark on that. She probably says, speaking of him wearing the beads, no husband of mine will go. Well. Here's a Monitor tip for motorists. Brake fade, a loss of braking power due to heat buildup, is a danger where the driver encounters long downgrades. In mountainous areas, use your brakes intermittently, alternated with periods of coasting to keep the brake drums cool. Now a word from State Farm.
This is Al Capp. For years now, my gravelly but strangely seductive voice has been coming out of your radio extolling the virtues of your State Farm agent. I've told you that he's a nice guy, a friendly guy, that his service is fast, and that his company, State Farm Mutual, is so reliable that it's been the world's biggest automobile insurer for 27 years, and you've been saying nuts to you, Capp. Well, I'm going to let you try out a State Farm agent on a free trial basis. Go to your State Farm agent's office. See if he isn't friendly. See if he isn't fast. See if he isn't a nice guy. Do it. And I'm sure that the next time you hear my voice, you'll turn to your radio and say, "May the heavens smile on you, little Al Capp." For your car, your home, your life, and your health. State Farm is all you need to know about insurance.
If you're in the environs of Fort Wayne, Indiana, chances are you heard us on WKJG Fort Wayne, serving the tri-state area at 1380 on the dial. My name, if memory serves, H. Morgan, and here we have a friend of Monitor's.
Hi, everybody. This is Mason Williams, and I'd like to invite you to listen to my new record, An Oldie But Goodie, Green Sleeves, that will be played later today on Monitor.
Is Red Cross Month, and once again, Red Cross desperately needs your help. Last year, the costs of helping disaster victims and the expense of providing assistance to almost 1 million servicemen rose with the ever-increasing demands for Red Cross aid. This year's needs are greater than ever before. Red Cross needs your help and your contribution. Support our servicemen. Support Red Cross services with a check to your local Red Cross chapter.
This is Ruth Buzzy. All I said was, the best thing about New York is Joe O'Brien. Oh, and boy, did I get told where to go. Woo-hoo!
This is the place, WNBC Radio 660, where you can hear me, Joe O'Brien, weekdays 5 to 9 a.m. The facts. First, straight and actual. That's news on WNBC Radio 660, New York.
This is Frank Erlin, WNBC News. It's 3:30, 47 degrees in New York and partly sunny. Harlem Congressman Adam Clayton Powell said today he'll run for mayor of New York if his campaign committee can come up with another $500,000. Powell said his supporters have already raised $500,000. Former Mayor Robert Wagner is thinking seriously about another try for City Hall. Supporters are urging him to seek the Democratic mayoral nomination and have pledged financial backing. Wagner says he's interested. Youthful anti-war demonstrators today disrupted a conference at Manhattan's Riverside Church. They singled out Arthur Goldberg and Senator Wayne Morse as targets for jeers and taunts. When Morse began to speak, the demonstrators started shouting. This angered the audience of about 1,000 who had come to hear the address. Throughout the disorders, Morse continued his speech, one that generally criticized U.S. foreign policy. Harlem Hospital continues to turn away all but emergency cases today and is going ahead with plans to close the hospital completely within a week because of a shortage of nurses and other personnel. Officials at the hospital say the big 800-bed medical center can't hire any new employees. Mayor Lindsay blames the situation on Governor Rockefeller's budget, which calls for a 5% cut in aid to the cities. A Long Island stockbroker says an inheritance he's received from a multimillionaire uncle is more of a responsibility than an asset. Henry Thompson, Jr. of Oyster Bay has fallen heir to a $250,000 house and art museum in Bangkok, Thailand. The property belonged to silk manufacturer James Thompson, who's been missing 2 years. The nephew says the estate can't be removed from Thailand, so he intends to file a will in Bangkok asking for appointment of an administrator to oversee the property until James Thompson is either found or declared legally dead. Thompson went for a walk in the jungles of Malaysia 2 years ago and never came back. A Georgia lawyer, J.B. Stoner, who's been saying he will represent James Earl Ray in getting another trial, suddenly refused to talk about that today. All Stoner would say after a long talk with Ray in the Tennessee penitentiary is that he will represent Ray in a civil lawsuit against Life magazine and others charging libel. The Savannah lawyer says Ray told him today that he was pressured into pleading guilty to shooting the Reverend Martin Luther King and that he is innocent. President Nixon today made a surprise visit to the Camp Pendleton Marine Base in California. He chatted with Marine engineers rebuilding a washed-out road. When one said he and his buddies had beer parties about once every 4 months at a recreation center, Nixon replied, "That's not often enough." Startled MPs alerted the big brass at Camp Pendleton when the president showed up, but they never caught up with Mr. Nixon during his visit. The president and Mrs. Nixon also toured the San Juan Capistrano mission, to which the Swallows have just returned. And they took their entire White House party and newsmen to lunch at one of the favorite Mexican restaurants in the area. Three protest leaders have been arraigned in New York on charges of conspiring to riot at the Democratic Convention in Chicago. Bail was set at $10,000 each, but U.S. Commissioner Clayton Hollinger let David Dellinger, Abby Hoffman, and Jerry Rubin free on $1,000 cash bail each. Outside the courthouse, about 200 Yippies, members of the Youth International Party, and 30 Black Panthers saluted the protest leaders. About 100 students gathered outside the U.S. Embassy in Karachi to burn an American flag today. Other demonstrators peacefully protested in front of the new West Pakistani governor's house. Radio Pakistan says nearly 40 persons have been killed in 2 weeks of mob violence in the divided nation. The Soviet Army newspaper Red Star says Communist China is trying to build a military-dominated regime completely free of Communist Party control. The newspaper said that of 200 persons in the top ruling echelon in Peking, more than 130 are military. The weather in New York, partly sunny and seasonably cool this afternoon with a high near 50. It will be fair and colder tonight with lows in the mid to low 30s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high again near 50. Right now, it's 47 degrees and partly sunny in New York. This is Frank Gorin, WNBC News, and now back to Monitor.
Don't bore yourself, no waste, no waste. Just get in your car and go head for the best. Wherever you are going to, on NBC.
Monitor, Mr. Morgan here with music for you by that elderly juvenile Pat Boone. His latest, July, You're a Woman.
I can't hold it on the road when you're sitting right beside me and I'm drunk out of my mind merely from the fact that you are here. And strange that I should mention that to you.
Monitor. Profiles of prominent Washington legislators by Paul Duke, NBC News.
Abe Ribicoff is the only man in Congress who has served as judge, governor, cabinet officer, and now senator. Ribicoff is a typical American success story that began when he was born into a tenement family in New Britain, Connecticut in 1910.
I never remember a time that I personally didn't work. I peddled newspapers beginning at the age of 8. And from that time on, I was an errand boy and a delivery boy. I worked in a gas station. And after school, I used to work in stores at Main Street, New Britain. My father, during those days, I don't think ever earned more than $25 a week. And my mother took boarders. I mean, her brothers and others just lived with us, and they used to help pay for the rent. But my mother and father had the deepest respect for education. And my mother and father would always say, Abe, someday you have to go to college.
Ribicoff became a city judge in Hartford in 1942, but gave this up for the House of Representatives in 1948. In 1954, he became governor of Connecticut, a job he held for 6 years. During this time, Ribicoff became a close friend of John Kennedy, nominating him for vice president in 1956.
When he was defeated by Senator Keith Arbor for the nomination, when he came down from the podium, I sort of, we took each other by the forearms, and I said, next time, Jack, you go all the way. And between the period of 1956 and 60, all the spare time I had from the governorship was devoted in the cause of the nomination, the election of John Kennedy for the presidency.
The first cabinet appointment announced by Mr. Kennedy after his election was that of Ribicoff to head the Health, Education, and Welfare Department. But it was a job Ribicoff was never happy in. He much prefers the independence enjoyed by a senator, the job he's held since 1963.
I found myself in the cabinet often advocating positions I didn't believe in, and found myself being against positions I did believe in. This is tough for a person who has always been his own man and made his own decisions. You don't like to be in a position of subordinating your own thoughts and ideas and principles for someone else, even if that someone else is a man for whom you have the highest respect, and I did, like President Kennedy.
Abraham Ribicoff, the Connecticut tenement boy who rose to be governor, cabinet officer, and now a Democratic senator. Paul Duke for Monitor on Capitol Hill.
Thank you.
the stars go deep in sky.
Updating a song originally in vogue back in 1956. No, not much. Morgan here, you're on the Monitor Beacon.
Hi, Big Wilson here. A branch of the First National City Bank, located at 86th Street and Broadway in Manhattan, will have on exhibit from March 24th through April 30th a unique collection of children's paintings called A Way to Peace, submitted by a variety of neighborhood parochial schools of all denominations, which is sponsored annually by the New York region of National Conference of Christians and Jews. An invitation is extended to all to come and see what their neighbor's children have created for a happy Easter Passover time. There'll be a dance concert choreographed and performed by the Student Dance Company at Hunter College on Friday night at 4:30 and Saturday at 8:30 p.m. That'll be at the Hunter College Playhouse, 68th Street and Lexington Avenue. For tickets, please write Student Dance Company, Box 709, Hunter College, 695 Park Avenue, New York. That's Student Dance Company, Box 709, Hunter College, 695 Park Avenue, New York. Or you may telephone 360-2551. 360-2551.
WNBC, Radio 660, New York.
On we go with Monitor 69. Andy Williams with his latest, Happy Heart.
There's a certain sound always follows me around. When you're close to me, you will hear it. It's the sound that lovers hear when they discover there could be no other for their love.
this message from the Easter Seal campaign. It costs more to educate a handicapped child in special classes than education in elementary public schools. That's why the Easter Seal Society emphasizes preschool training to prepare crippled children to enter regular schools. It's one of the reasons why you're asked to give generously to Easter Seals each year. Crippled children can be helped. Please give to Easter Seals. Next, Monitor Sports with Joe Garagiola. An interview with a young man who may very well be the world's tallest poet.
Vocation, professional basketball player. Avocation, poet. That description fits Tom Mascheri of the Seattle Supersonics. Among Tom's poems is one describing the life of a professional basketball player. Mascheri calls it Prometheus, and I asked him to read it to us.
Falling from that pinnacle of height, scraping, sweated, flaying bodies as I fall, I wonder why I chose that moment to ascend, not staying planted firmly to the floor.
I never thought a guy going up for a rebound would sound so great.
You get hit by Willis Reed, you find out how fast you go down the ground.
How about the one you called the fight?
Well, I tell you, I've been in more fights, and I'm probably, I've only won one out of 15, I think.
I thought basketball was a non-contact sport.
That's what they told me when I started. Tommy Hansen opened up 7 stitches over my arm, and I found out what the real thing was like. The fight. I awake the morning after to find my eye trapped behind blue, black, swollen, aching flesh. I awake from peaceful reveries, reminded of violence.
How about the one where you it's not titled. I've gone through, I've kind of sneaked a look, but there's no title for this one.
Well, Joe, you remember how athletes live. I remember that I look at some of my dark rooms and trying to catch a nap in the afternoon and things like that, and this is how I wrote this. I just said that, very simply, pro basketball players live in bat caves, upside-down hotel rooms, minds pointing to darkness.
Bat caves, huh? That's about what it is.
Oh, let me tell you, some of the hotel rooms, especially on the exhibition trips.
Tom Mascheri is obviously a deep-thinking young man. He looks ahead to the day when his basketball career is over, when the next step might very well be in the Peace Corps, a concept to which he's dedicated. He also looks forward to the day when he stops being the sports world's best-known unpublished poet. This is Joe Garagiola for Monitor Sports.
The Classics Four, one a singer, the rest instrumentalists with Traces.
Traces on the ground.
Here's a reminder from your FTD florist. Easter Sunday's just around the corner, and now is the time to call or visit your nearby FTD florist. When you order early, he'll assure on-time delivery, even save you money on out-of-town orders. And this year, there's more. Many FTD florists can send a combination of flowers and candy, but flowers plus or flowers alone, the time to order for Easter is now. The one who can make it all happen is your FTD florist.
Bert Kempfert and the orchestra. This is Monitor 69. Reviewing the news, British TV featured an interview earlier this week with Mary Wilson, wife of the Prime Minister. She was asked what she'd like to take along if she were shipwrecked and cast away on a desert island. Her list, a copy of Wuthering Heights, some phonograph records, and, quote, a complete makeup set just in case a ship came along and rescued me. Come to think of it, female vanity isn't really news. But for something that is, stay tuned for NBC News on the Hour. Morgan here.
Don't touch that guy! We'll be back on Monitor in just a while.
On it! Isn't it about time somebody talked quietly about beer? Pickerel doesn't make loud claims. It speaks quietly for itself, with taste. Michelob is just a great beer. Isn't that what you pay for? A great beer with a great taste? We can sum it up just as quietly. And beer from first class is Michelob. Period.
The Seagull. Anton Chekhov's theatrical masterpiece is now a motion picture, directed by Sidney Lumet, starring James Mason, Marcia Redgrave, Simone Signoret, and David Warner. The Seagull, in color from Warner Brothers 7 Arts. It is rated G. The Seagull is about us and what we do to one another.
Hailed as one of the year's 10 best, The Seagull is now at a select theater near you. Check newspapers.
NBC Monitor News on the Hour. Brought to you by your Ford dealer. The place you gotta go to see what's going on. Here's Lou Wood.
Lawyer J.B. Stoner of Savannah, Georgia, visited with James Earl Ray in the Tennessee State Prison today and later said Ray told him he is innocent of the murder of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr.